We're doing laws of Shabbos, and we're moving forward with Ohel and building. And let's say you want to extend the bed or extend the table. So being that you don't really use the area under the table, anyone whose cell phone isn't on silent, it's a good idea to do so. So being that I don't use it, so Chazal said that when I'm not using the area underneath, like when I extend the bed or extend the table, so then Chazal said it would only be prohibited if you do a roof with walls. If all you're doing is a roof, an extension of a roof, so then I could extend the table. That's why we're allowed to extend tables, right? You pull out the table, you created, so to speak, you're creating shade under that. Why is that not called building a tent? Because that's not the purpose. And it's a binyan arai. It's temporary. At some point I'm going to fold it. At some point I'm opening it. And I don't have walls. What happens?
Is this the reason why we're not building a tent on
Shabbat? Building a tent on Shabbat is the prohibition of building a tent on Shabbat. Yeah, but that's bone. You're building a tent. Yeah.
Now, is it bone or not?
What?
What is the source of this mountain?
This is bone. Right now, we're dealing with bone. Bone could be building a wall. Bone could be building a roof. Bone could be setting up a tent. Okay, let's say you have a bed frame and you want to put the board, you want to put the bed or the mattress on it. So that's also mutal, because sometimes you might put stuff under the bed. So here it's a little bit, we do keep stuff under a bed, we put our shoes under a bed. So it depends. If I don't have walls on the sides, if it's a bed that doesn't have a frame that goes down to the floor, it's just a frame, like four legs and a base, so I could put it down. But if it's a frame that has walls underneath it, sometimes you have, like we described last week, where you have a frame that goes around to the floor, like you have four walls, technically. And when you put the bed on top, you're creating like a little machsan, you're creating a little cabinet underneath. So then Chazal said, hold the roof and put the frame under it. Do it out of order. Because you are creating a space underneath which you're going to use. You're going to put your shoes under there or whatnot. Many people store their blankets underneath the bed. So if I have a bed that has four walls, four proper walls, and a roof, so technically I'm building a little enclave down there. So Chazal said, okay, it's a bed, but you might use it down there. So hold the roof and bring in the frame under it. Again, that's when you have four proper walls. What would be if no one ever uses down there? I only use it as a bed. I never use the space under the bed. Then it would be okay. Then I don't have to do it out of order. That's not considered like I built a tent. What I don't really understand is why our use of a table isn't considered that we use the space underneath. Because this is a question I've had for a long time. When you sit by a table, you are enjoying the space under the table, and you're enjoying that the food isn't on your lap. That, for whatever reason, in halacha is not called that I'm using the space under the table. I don't know why. Right? My question began in sukkah. I don't know why it's permissible to sit by a table in a sukkah.
No. I'm saying when you're in a sukkah,
yeah.
And there's a halacha that if you're sitting outside the sukkah and your body's inside, your part of your body's inside the sukkah, your food, right? I think all of this. What's the actual
sakir
that is the
global body? Machlokas, but we passing like Beisilo, that you're not allowed to sit outside the sukkah and have your inside the sukkah and have your table outside the sukkah. We're concerned you'll end up going after the table.
Hold on, about this. What's the reason why? What's considered UCB?
It has to be Rosh over Ruba v'sukkah. You need your head and most of your body in the sukkah.
I'm talking about, in this case, specifically in this case, what's considered usage? Peter, there, usage in the sense of getting shade has nothing to do with, or getting bona, has nothing to do with...
I don't know. That's what I don't understand.
It's about what's providing. It's not about...
It's providing me shade. It's providing me protection from the food. When I spill my food, it won't spill on my knees.
When you're on, for example, I'll give you an example. Let's say you're on the boot, right?
And right.
You're on the boot. I'm saying, like, you're not. You wouldn't consider that usage of the
boot,
right?
I hear you're saying upward support is not the same as protection beneath. That's what you're saying. I hear what you're saying. So with that, we've basically finished the idea of boner. Now we move on to soter. So just like I'm not allowed to build, I'm also not allowed to do soter. Before we move on to Soter, I want to just touch on one more thing which people don't always notice, and I don't see that he addressed it here. I'm sure he addresses it somewhere, but it's not here. So, and that is, very often on Shabbos, you have door handles that fall apart. Right? The doorknob comes out. You run into the question of bone. If you're going to fix that door, if a door comes off its hinge or a doorknob comes out, so you can easily come into the gather of bone. We have to find where he deals with that and deal with that a little bit. When it would be permissible, when not. Sometimes you have people that have doors where, I was at a place this week where they didn't have a handle in the door. They used the key. They'd stick a key in the door, turn it, and the door opened. But they didn't have a handle. Meaning, every time you'd stick in the key. So being that that's a designated way to use it, that's not called bona. I didn't really build anything with the door or with the house. What happens if you have a house where they always have a handle that they stick in and out to open and close the door? What happens when you thought you fixed it before Shabbos and then it falls apart on Shabbos? So that we'll have to deal with, Bezat Shem. We should at least be aware that there is this concept that fixing a door handle could fall into the criterion of bone. You're building something attached to the house. So wherever if we would build it, it would be called bone. So then undoing it is called soter. The only issue is that soter is biblically prohibited when it is soter al menat livnot, meaning the prohibition of breaking, of undoing, is when it is leading to building something better. You're taking apart this house to build a different house. If all you did was take off some bricks off of the house, you didn't really do the biblical task of soter. Soter is soter al menat livnot. I am taking it apart for the sake of rebuilding it better, of building something else that's better here. But if I'm only taking it apart without the intent to build it, so I've moved away from the biblical prohibition, the sudoraita of soter. It's rabbinically prohibited, right, but it's not biblically prohibited.
Demolition, you call that in English? Take down. That was in the Mishkan, was when they took down the Mishkan to
right.
Rebuild after. That's the
correct. Right. So taking apart a tent for the sake of rebuilding it, taking apart a sukkah for the sake of rebuilding it. When I take something apart with the intent of rebuilding it. So, where does this come up? This could come up with a mechitza, taking apart a partition. We said a partition that creates a halachic status would be considered boneh. If I take it apart, that's soter. If I take apart a tent, right? In the army, you sleep in tents very often. Taking apart that tent would be soter. If we have let's say you have a porch that has what they call it tzailanit, you have this something that creates shade, an awning. So if you were to take off that awning, so now you have sunlight on your porch, so then that would constitute soter.
Even if it's on hinges?
No. On hinges, you're allowed to open and close it, just like you're allowed to open and close a door. So an awning that has a hinge is okay. If you have a bed that has a frame with walls all around it, and you're going to take apart that bed, where this sometimes comes up, where it's permissible, is if the couple become prohibited on Shabbos, the woman has her onset on Shabbos, so then they have to separate the beds. So then the question becomes, how were the beds attached to begin with, right? When a couple becomes prohibited, they're not allowed to sleep on the same bed anymore. So let's say the woman has her onset on Shabbat, they have to separate the beds. So you have to factor that in the type of beds you buy. If the type of bed you buy, you screw the two together with a nut and bolt, you could run into problems of taking it apart on Shabbat. So that the truth is that's not our issue yet, because that's talking about a vessel. Until now we were talking about bonnet, and bonnet and soter are primarily within the house. I don't have bonnet and soter generally with vessels. Bonnet and soter is things that are attached to the ground with the house. When I deal with vessels, creating a vessel or taking apart a vessel, that's going to be more makeh bepatish. I'm creating a vessel, so that's makeh bepatish. We'll see exceptions to that, but that's a general rule. Yes?
Is metaken mana and makeh bepatish, are they two different things, or are they one derived from the other?
We'll see. Let's wait till we define it. Yeah?
When it goes to taking down a wall, even if you're not doing it, even if you're not doing it for any reason, just want to against the wall, it's still, there are other problems as well, right? Such as ripping, I'm not sure.
Could be, but they'll all be rabbinic, because things that are done in a destructive way are as isul drabanan. So if I'm not intending to rebuild or to build over here, not mitzad the shilonicha, mitzad the mekalkel. Isur of Shabbat is when I'm doing something productive. If I'm doing something destructive, the only reason soter is an isur d'oraita is because it's al menat livnot. The only reason mechabe, putting out a flame, is asur d'oraita, is biblically prohibited, because I'm creating the coal with the intent to relight it. But if I were to put out a flame without intent to relight it, then I'm dealing with an isur d'rabanan, a rabbinic prohibition. So that might be right. So that's called, we'll see that mekareh mipenei chamato, if someone tears something out of anger, so it says he's metaken etzel kaso, he's fixing his anger.
So I'm saying, but there's no such thing as a case of real
kaka. Well, you have a point. You're right that that's where we would enter the realm of melacha sheina tzicha legufa. You're right. That if a person were to say, I'm taking apart this wall without the intention to build something here, I'm taking it apart because I don't want a wall here. So you wouldn't call that mitakein, because really you're doing something destructive.
Right.
But you need that space. So your intention, like you're saying, is positive. But I don't have the intention of the task that the Torah prohibited. So that's melacha. I'm doing the task. Sheina tzricha legufa. I don't need it for the intent that the Torah gave in this task. So when I put out a flame, I'm putting out the flame because I want dark. I'm not doing it. I want the flame out. I want the result. But I'm not doing it with the intent that the Torah prohibited. The Torah said, don't put out a flame when you're doing it for the sake of creating coal, when you're doing it to relight it. I'm not doing it to create coal. I'm doing it because I want darkness. So that's so that's a milacha. I'm doing the task. Sheina tzricha legufa. I don't need the essence of what the Torah said is prohibited. A person has something at home, and he takes it out into the public domain. So ordinarily, that's an isul d'oraita. But he doesn't do it in order to put it in the public domain. He's not interested in having it in the public domain. But it bothers him that he has this bag of garbage in his house.
Yeah.
So he's taking the garbage outside the house, putting it in public domain. Wait, do you want it there or do you not want it here? The answer is, I don't care where it is. I just don't want it here. So that's melacha. I did the task. Sheinat tzricha legufa. I don't need it for the essence of why the Torah prohibited it. So that's prohibited. It's a sul, but it's not a sul doraita. It's not a biblical prohibition. Okay, it's a sul midrabanan, and we have this in many tasks where I'm doing it. I have intention for the outcome. It's not davar sheino mitkaven. Davar sheino mitkaven means I'm not interested in making furrows in the field. I'm dragging my bench, and it happens to make a hole. That's not my intent. That's davar sheino mitkaven. Over there, it's permissible. I'm not interested. I don't notice when it does. I don't notice when it doesn't. I'm not even intending for that outcome. Here, I'm intending for the outcome. I'm intending for the flame to be off. But the purpose of the action is not what the Torah prohibited. That's the difference between davar sheino mitkaven, which is permissible. That's when I'm not even intending for that outcome. And melacha, where I intend for the task, sheinat tzricha legufa, but I'm not intending for the purpose the Torah prohibited it. I don't have an intention to take this out to public domain. My point is to get it out of my house. That's prohibited. That's asur midrabanan. Melacha sheinat tzricha legufa, to turn off a flame. When I'm not interested in making coal, I just want darkness. So it's melacha, it's a task.
You have smelly trash that you can't take it out.
If it's private to public domain, that's asur. I can't do an asur doraita for that. No? Okay, so that's... okay, so next week we will have to pick up with the concept of binyan and stira in kelim, in vessels. What's called boneh, what's called soter, what's called metaken mana, what's called makeh bepatish. Right? We will discuss basically four things. We have binyan. I created a vessel. I had a ball of clay. I stuck my fist into it. I made it into a cup. I put it out in the sun to dry. I created a vessel. Then we have metaken mana. I fixed the vessel. Then we have makeh vepatish, the vessel was fixed. What I did was I put the finishing touches, and now it's perfect. Until now, it was missing its final rim. I made a basket. I needed to snip off the branches that stick out. I had a vessel beforehand. Now I perfected it. That's makeh vepatish. I put the final blow to make it into a vessel that's also biblically prohibited. And then we will also talk Be'ezrat Hashem about stira, undoing vessels, because we do that all the time. You buy candy, you open up the wrapper, you broke a vessel. You had a vessel, you had the wrapper of the candy bar, you tore it apart. Now it's no longer a vessel, it's no longer holding the candy bar. Right? When is it soter? When is it permissible? When is it rabbinically prohibited? That we will discuss Be'ezrat Hashem next week. These concepts of binyan and stira bekelim, what's called creating and destroying a vessel.